All right, y'all ready? Gentlemen, y'all ready? We're going to go ahead and call to order Liberty County's school board's workshop. We're going to have a discussion of insurance being presented by Mr. Michael Richter.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Richter, I would like to go ahead and just announce, those that do not know, Mr. Summers is not able to be here tonight for health reasons. He just has come out of surgery, is in recovery right now, so he will not be able to be present nor on the phone. So just wanted to make sure everybody knew that that's why he's not here or on the phone tonight.
I'm handing out a packet for everyone here. We're going to add some stuff to this, but I kind of got it in order. We'll run through this. We scheduled. We scheduled 30 minutes for this review for our renewal. And so I'm going to try to talk fast and cover this. You guys stop me if you have a question. I'm going to skim over some of the information. It's in your packet there. If you have a question about it, just stop me midstream and we'll go over together. So the first item in your packet there is our renewal letter delivered from Debbie Sisk. It gives us an increase on our current plan of 9.5%. It shows us a plan option, an alternative plan option there available to us as well. In that renewal letter, there's a few items noted as contributing factors for this renewal. I've gone through all of those in discussion with Capital Health Plan. And we'll cover some of those in the next handout there. Attached with that is the SBCs for those two plans. So if we want to have a discussion about what the differences are, I've gone through them before, and I think we're probably well suited for our utilization versus the premium change from plan to plan. Although it is a 3% difference, 3.4% difference in increase. As far as it's less, but it's, you'll see here in the next handout, if you'll pick up this form here, the next one, we'll just skip over to it. And what this right here is information specific to our group. Now, keep in mind, Capital Health Plan is an HMO. They issue rates based on a community rating, okay? So you can have specific claims data to your group, and you may can affect that claims data with education, behavioral change programs, wellness programs, or what have you, but you don't get the direct reflection of that in your rate because you're grouped in with the entire community rating group that they rate you with, which is all large group other than the state of Florida. They put all of them together. So state of Florida stands alone. The rest of their book of business is broken up by small group and large group clients, and we call them that large group. Okay. So if you'll note, 9.5% delivered. Liberty County Board of County Commission got a 9.5% increase. Calhoun County got a 9.5% increase, and so did we. All right. We go through this though. I've gone through this a number of times with them, and we're still going to be in discussions about how we can improve these reports so that we can be better prepared for the future in looking and having some options in front of us rather than being completely reactive to what is delivered to us and getting ourselves into a time crunch similar to where we are this year. But this information is some general numbers about claims information and utilization. All right, and if you'll notice here on the very first page, or second page, the first page of the report, average member count is 259. That number represents all of the employees and their dependents. Okay, when we had open enrollment last year, upon open enrollment starting, after we had already gotten our proposal, made our decision, compared our rates with our other carriers, decided to change, pick the plan, I was in the schools when we got notification that Florida Kid Care changed their rating for all their children policies. So we had a large migration of people who jumped off Florida Kid Care, came on over to this program, and that increased our numbers, number of members insured. And that was a significant change from what was quoted with CHP. And what they should have done, I covered this with them in conversation, is if you're going to penalize us for a demographic change, you should have done that within your contracted right to re-rate the group if it was outside of your 15% margin of error. They did not do that. So they've contributed part of that to this renewal this year. However, having said all that, we're community rate. So I'm not sure, if it would have really mattered at all. So we're probably as good as we could be there. But that's where that 259 comes in. It's not 259 employees. The second page, this covers, and I think this is important to note. We had a previous meeting that discussed, fees and commissions and how CHP is organized, and there was a discussion about 4% allocated for Debbie Sisk, and that, you recall that, Roger, specifically? Okay. Well, this clears that up as far as how that 4% roughly is built into their premiums. Now, it's not 4% of anybody, it's operational costs. It's company-wide operational costs, and this is a piece from them to address that just the way that was delivered was not accurate, and they had a concern about it after reviewing the reporting. And I had a discussion with Mark Hicks specifically about it, and he asked that I highlight that in this delivery, this renewal. Moving forward, there's a couple pages in here addressing the breakup of our members and the tiers they fall in. We've had an increase in the amount of people that participate in family policies, significant increase in our employee children tier as well. If you look at those number of dependents at 90, that's a pretty big increase. Families, one of the biggest ones they took issue with was we've got 5 family coverages now, but it's 30 insured. So their pricing is it's outside of where their pricing should be for that number of insured for a family premium. It's a concern for them and added to the part of their justification for the rate increase. Next page, demographics. There's this comparison on cost there. I'm going to skip over. Well, I'll stop here. This page with the blue graph on it. Take note right here. One number I want you to see. In my effort to get claims data, I like to see specific claims data so that we can look at what our utilization is, how it really affects our members. Can we do anything here with our group to help influence that? And can I make an educated argument with the underwriters to try to affect our rates and say, hey, well, this is no longer a risk. This member's moved on. They're no longer employed here. We won't see more claims. Give them information that helps them say, well, if I'm not going to be paying for that large claim next year, then my exposure is less, and they may give me some consideration there. If you'll notice here, CHP cost is noted at $958,000 in claim cost. Well, that is just from 10-1 to 6-30. There's still run out from that. It's an abbreviated, we ain't been there long enough to get a full year of claims data, so they're concerned about losses. They quoted 162% loss ratio for the year. It was the number they went with, acknowledging that it was an abbreviated year of claims.
What was that
number? 162. Don't have it. 160, let me go with 162. It could be a little higher. It could be 168. It's one of the other. 162 or 168. There's a lot of numbers here. I don't have that written. All right, the last one I want to talk to you about specifically on this, and then I'll leave it with you, is the one with the pie chart here. It's the next page over. And it breaks down service categories. Biggest number jumps out at me, and I've worked on this for years. We were doing a really good job at influencing behavior on this, but it's emergency room business. We're at 167 with only 5 admits. Urgent care visits are only 25. If you look at the cost there, that's a significant cost factor. Again, we're community rated, so if we do a really good job at changing behavior there with our employees, I don't know how much benefit we can actually get from that, but it's something we should try and strive to do. We need to start paying attention to that number, and I will initialize another education campaign.
Do you think that has something to do with the fact that we have an ER right here and then the urgent care is going to be over in Tallahassee?
Absolutely. It does. It's inconvenient. And some people, they don't know how to evaluate when do I go one provider or another. And it's so I talk with CHP about, okay, well, let's get a solution from your side because, you know, you're the HMO. We have one ER provider over here, and we have no other urgent care options other than coming to your Centerville location over there. And there is a significant difference in copay, which is a good motivator. So we just need to be sure that we talk about it, we're aware of it. And I tell people, if you have to think about whether I want to go to the ER or not, go to urgent care. If you think you need to get some type of life-saving intervention, go to the ER. But clearly, out of 167 visits and only 5 admits, there's probably a large percentage of those who could have been redirected to either their Amwell service, which we've consistently communicated, which is a telephonic medical service, or by encouraging them to go to the urgent care and utilize that. But you got to keep in mind, this is a major change. And they don't adopt these changes easily. If you think back, well, when we made the last carrier change, it took 2 years for us to see results in those efforts, those education efforts, behavior change. People have to develop habits. So it takes some time, all right? So we'll pay attention to that. Some of the things that I look at to say, how can I make a difference and influence the direction we're headed? In the end, I'm more concerned with being prepared to have options in front of you for when our renewals are higher than we can handle. Okay? The following slides are just another graph illustrating those services. And then some more information about how we compare with the group. CHP's book of business as a whole. One number here, if you look on, I'm sorry these pages don't have numbers, but it's the one that has the bar graph. It says at what rate are our group members receiving preventative visit? Well, we have 8.17% versus CHP's book of business of 31.4. That tells us that our members are not taking advantage of the preventative care services that are at no cost to them. The final few slides here talks about prescription drug costs, and it was the one thing that Capital Health Plan highlighted the most, contributing to their increased renewal, their renewal rate. Okay, final page shows us a list of drugs for our group that we are currently using and affecting our cost base. The good news is, I did review this. I think it's in here somewhere, maybe on another report. Here it is. Excuse me. We are primarily using tier one drugs, generic drugs. That's a good thing. We do have that, and that's probably a carryover from our program before, where people were, because of the way we had it set up and designed, were already focused on generic drugs versus the name brand. So they just have a habit of using it already. Okay? All right. So that is the report that was provided. Now, having said that, when we go out to market, I'm looking for options. We're sitting here looking at 9.5%. Where's my competition? What can I bring to the board to say, you know, here's something to consider. In the industry, when you go out and shop a large group account, they want to see claims data. And if you can't get claims data to them, they're going to give you 120% renewal on current rates. That's the industry standard. I had a conversation as recent as today with them about getting access to this information. I'm just, very direct in the fact that we all acknowledge that this is our claims data, if we don't have it, you hinder us from seeking competition. I know you, CHP, don't want to see us do that, but you also want to be a good partner with us in being transparent in what we're spending our taxpayer dollars on, where it's going, and how can we be good stewards of that. And if you're doing that, then we feel good about our partnership here and that we're working together. And even if we have an off year here or there, we can work through those. But if we feel like we're not getting the information we need to justify what we're doing, it's just not a good partnership. So I'm going to continue to work with them to see that if we can have access. So for example, the following handout should be in that packet is an Aetna claims report. This is one of the final reports. This shows you the level of detail that we can see that I can give to an underwriter of a competing company and say, here's what we're dealing with. Here's our shock losses, so to speak, or our outliers that may not be ongoing exposure for us. And here's why this is a good book of business that you really want to take a look at. And I can have some meaningful discussion with them in trying to solicit a competition. We've had a lot of success at doing that in the past. But without this claims data, we're hindered in that effort. Okay? So that leads me to my responses from all the other carriers. I went out to market, shopped this with, took it to Blue Cross, United, Aetna, went back to Aetna. I have interest from United Healthcare and Aetna to take another look at it. But they were both up front with me that they're not going to beat our current renewal rate. Although we may be able to design an alternate structured plan. Maybe there's some other things that we could do that's probably forward from what you guys typically see and what, honestly, public sector typically does. So I don't think it's a good discussion to have today, especially with our time frame. So here we sit, 9.5% renewal, open enrollment needing to start. Teachers coming back to work. They want to know what about their benefits. And that's what we have for them. I think, is that the last piece in your packet? If not, if so, I'm going to hand you another piece. We'll put some together. Do you have the comparison of costs for years running? I want to provide this so that you had some data to look at how our premiums have changed and how it's affected the employees over the past 7 years, or coming on 7 years now. This just gives you just a historical look. It's hard to remember those numbers. I wanted to be sure I had them in front of you so you could take a look at them. Any questions on that?
The 16-17 would be what with the increase? Is that correct for CHP? Is that including the increase?
That's right. That's what the employee only tier would cost, which would be a change from the $65. That's how it's going to affect the employees. If we keep
contributions. This is monthly?
Yes, ma'am. It will go to 107.87 if you keep the board contribution the same as you did last year. So that's a decision for the board to make. That's just using the current information I have on what the board contribution is currently set at. So here's my concern, okay? I feel like my position here is delivering information options for you. The board, you entered engage in discussion and I can answer questions based on the direction of discussion. Back in 2010, we had to make a significant shift in our direction in order to make a change in our program so that we could control what was happening. And if you look at these numbers on this page, it'll show you that we had consistent premiums for years. Now, we all know, we're all in agreement that a change was necessary last year. We had run through our, we had gotten to a point where financially the best decision was to move, okay? And Capital Health Plan was the best option based on the numbers last year. However, we're doing an about face on what we're putting on the employees going forward. It's going to affect us. It's going to affect morale at the schools. It's going to affect participation in the group. It's going to start down. If we're not careful, we start undoing the progress that we've made because of what they're faced with premium. Okay. Now, premium's going up on all the carriers. This is just a hard fact of life with our current healthcare system. Drug costs are out of control, and there's just definitely some factors there that's going to affect us. But we need to be mindful of the fact that if we have an opportunity to change and look at an option that's going to help the pocketbooks of the employees of this system, that we're willing to do that. Now, I don't know how many of you got to have conversations with employees at the teacher breakfast, but I know when they see me, they think about how much is my insurance going up. So they ask me, and that's the purpose of me being there, is so that I can answer specific questions, take down concerns, and provide information to them. And I can tell you two or three different tables of employees, I told them this is what we're facing, gave them the information, and two or three tables of those had significant concerns about these increases, and to the point they're saying, hey, I had one group of people tell me, after being here a year, my cost to utilize my coverage was less with Aetna. It cost me more to use this. I told them to email their board members. Let them know so that you have the communication directly from the members who have the experience. So I hope they do that so that we can get some good information, or I would encourage the board to, you know, create a survey for them so that you can get the public opinion, the opinion of your employees about what makes them happy and where they would rather be. If everybody's okay with paying more and just taking it and rubber stamping it and paying more, then this is where you stay. But there may come a point to where that is not, you know, the best thing for you, and option is going to be something else. I don't know that for sure until we get there. But this year, this is what we've got. In looking at all of our options out there in the market, this is still the most competitive price that could be brought to you. Any questions? We've got 8 minutes.
Well, I got one on the 9.5% increase. Does that include your 3%? Because that, you know, it's going to be on top of that. That's it.
That's it. Okay. So you touched on it, but you didn't quite get all the way around on the subject. So my compensation structure, all right? We're community rated. Calhoun County, Liberty County Board of County Commissions all got 9.5% increase. Everybody in agreement on that? We reduced costs here by 2% because we had a commission structure of 5, which 1% of that went to technology. Did not come to me. I kept 4 for my services. Reduced it to 3 this year. I'm negotiating with our technology provider. They're hanging on. Because of my partnership and book of business elsewhere, you're going to get technology services for free this year. I'm keeping 3. So there's a 2% reduction in cost there. CHP kept that. So it's been promoted that if we eliminate me, you're going to save money. You're eliminating money from commissions paid directly to me.
If you take 3% off that total bill, it may save.
Well, they took 2% came off.
Yeah, called CHP Capital 3%.
2% reduced this year.
Right.
But so if you're community rated, wouldn't that mean that you would get a 7.5% renewal?
Yeah. tell me if we don't get you a 3%, we have 60%. If you take 3% off of Fusion 6.5. But I see, they, you got it. I mean, it ain't here or there. I mean, I agree with what you're
saying. I just want to make sure we get the facts right so that the information that's delivered to the public is accurate. So if you got to look at this,
everything's public record.
You're right, and we're creating public record right now. So what we want to know, what we want to make sure that we're clear on, is we're community rated at 9.5%. Everybody got a 9.5% renewal. We reduced commissions in this group 2%, but you didn't get it.
The county got 9%.
Not right at 9.5. It was right there. So. You understand the point I'm making there? They kept your 2%. I was on the phone with them at 5:28, and I said, "All right, I need to make sure this is your last and final offer. There's nothing you're going to do for us here." And they were steadfast in their position, and can be in this position.
Anybody have any questions or discussion? Do we have anything for finance that's going to talk about employee contribution?
The only other thing I did include here is renewal numbers for our dental. We had rate guarantee on our other product lines, so we kept those. We did have significant losses in that. I reviewed claims versus premium with them. We still got a good solid program. The utilization is good on that, which is why we had the losses. And but that will be our renewal rates also passed along. We talked about doing voluntary open enrollment starting on Monday. The board approves this renewal, approves rate structure. We'll launch that on Monday if so approved by the board, and we'll run that for the entire week. I talked to the group about that at teacher breakfast. If there's any material change to those plans, I can announce those. We're developing a schedule for me to be on site at all of those locations. And like I said, again, voluntary enrollment, unless the board objects to that, or Ms. Sheila wants to change that plan. You're okay with that? You're good with that? And then that way, if employees don't want to change anything, they don't have to. And the feedback I've gotten so far this year from the teachers is thank you for not burdening us with an additional thing to do during our week of hustle to get prepared for students to return. So we're glad that we're automated to a point to where we can offer this flexibility, and we should be good to go for our September 13th payroll deduction deadline. Any other questions?
So do you have a recommendation as to which way you would suggest?
Driven primarily by my concern for the employees and the need that they need to not be upset with some instability in the program of us trying to make a drastic change at a last minute. You know, the best option you have is to renew as is. However, I would be positioning myself to have other options in front of me as we move forward and we see what this market does and how Capital Health Plan has to respond to that. If the state of Florida restructures benefits for the employees, it's going to greatly affect them, and that's going to affect their overhead and their costs. We may have to share in that as well. I don't know. That's speculation. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of changes in front of us, and we're going to see premium increases, if we're community rated, we're going to share those all the way around, and we have little effect on what that does on how we change that unless we use the market to do it. Is there anything the board would like to see me do differently, more for you, or information that you don't have that you would like to have at all? If you think of anything, please let him know, as always, at any time.
Motion by Mr. Reddick, second by Mr. Hayes to adjourn the workshop. We've adjourned the workshop. We will take a brief 2-minute break before we begin our school board meeting if there's anyone that needs to leave. I found that. It was in the bag right here.
That's right, Rebecca, get a good chair.
Well,
you can get
I'm going to be lost if I'm sitting in that chair. So I better sit here.
All right, y'all ready? We're going to call to order Liberty County School Board regular meeting. We're going to open up with prayer and pledge. Mr. Hayes has offered to do our prayer, and Mr. Reddick is going to lead our pledge.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this day. You give us to come together and do our school business, Father. Pray for each and every person here in the family. We just lift up Mr. Summer to you tonight. Eric Willis, continue to bless him and watch over them. Be with us throughout this night. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We don't have any recognition or any presentation tonight. At this time, we have this is the time for public comments. Do we have anybody that's addressing the board tonight? Okay, I'm sorry. We have Mr. Jason Fowler and Miss Cassie Vickers. Okay, we have on the front that we have a policy on what we follow. You each get 3 minutes, and so we just ask you to stick with that. And whoever wants to go first, you're more than welcome to pick.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
3 minutes is going to be enough, so I'm going to have to move through the data fairly quickly. You have a packet, a red packet in front of you with all the data that I'm going to be discussing. I want to address the board on the hire of the most recent 21st century positions. I want to acknowledge there's no sense of entitlement on behalf of my wife who did not get a position. She was willing to accept that, assuming that other qualified or the most qualified candidates got the positions. And before I proceed, I want to make certain that I'm expressing the fact that I'm not here to bash the employees that got the positions. What I am questioning is the procedure and the policies that go behind it that determine how those positions are hired. We did a public records request Friday. They did interviews for the positions. Friday, they got acknowledgement of who got the positions, and the following Monday, those positions began. That's a concern in and of itself, or should be, for this board in terms of liability. I've given you a spreadsheet in front of the packet that highlights the glaring inconsistencies in the scoring process for the family services coordinator and the site coordinator positions. I would have given you one for the project manager position, but no notes, no scoring rubrics, nothing was kept. They interviewed everyone, was what I was told, so that documentation wasn't necessary, which, again, is a liability. Of those major inconsistencies, the wrong rating sheet was used. It references NCLB highly qualified status. It's not a status within 21st century. For example, in that rating, even though they should not have included that rating, Becky got a 0 points for that in her position. If it shouldn't belong there, everyone should have got credit, or it should have been taken out. When we look further down and we look at that NCLB, again, it shouldn't have been there. Brenda got 0 points on the site coordinator. If you bump down to the bachelor's degree requirement, which was a scored rubric, or metric, I should say, some of the most educated applicants got the fewest points. If you look at the site coordinator, Ms. Brenda Green got 3 out of 5, despite the fact that I know she has at least one master's. Family services coordinator positions, out of those, Becky got 4 points, Kenneth got 4 points, and Brenda got 3 points. But the candidates were chosen got 5. There's gross inequality in that score. Teacher experience in the family position, out of 3 points available, 9 of the candidates had more. This is for the family services position. 9 of the candidates had more experience than the candidate chosen. If you look at the site coordinator position, 6 candidates had more experience than the candidate chosen. And I can go down the list, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to jump through a couple here, and I have more. I'll be glad to discuss with you. The data's in front of you. You should be able to figure it out. Professional references. They all had references. Some got 0 points. Some got points. These add up. People who didn't get positions may have gotten higher scoring as a result of it. Random points awarded for job-related education, professionalism, job-related skills, appearance and app, resume. We couldn't even establish a pattern there. But a prime example is our 2014 Teacher of the Year, Ms. Cassie Vickers, got less points for teaching experience, employment record, and community involvement. You know that's not accurate. How many math nights have you seen her coordinate in Hofstra, Kyle? How much grant funding are we aware that she's pulled in this grant through donors' choose?
Mr. Fowler, I'm sorry, your 3 minutes is over. I apologize. I hate to stop you right in the middle of you trying to talk.
Yeah, because there's a lot there you really need to dig through. But
I understand.
We can stop there. You got enough data, and you've got the data in front of you, and you got proof that the 3 reviewers that scored this did not follow the proper procedure for hiring. That's a liability for you. And it should be of grave concern for any teacher in this district, in my opinion.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out and presenting and getting the information together for us.
Do I have an opportunity to ask for any feedback?
Unfortunately.
So I can talk and no one says anything?
Unfortunately,
now that hasn't happened in prior board meetings. I'm going to challenge that.
I didn't hear what you said.
I don't have the opportunity to ask for any feedback from the board.
At this time, it's not a question and answer period. I mean, you're free to come give us and present to us, but that's our board policy that's been there. Or whether it was followed in the past, I can't speak for that.
Okay.
I'm following what our policy is on here.
Okay.
Ms. Vickers?
Jason sent the highlights, so I won't go over them, but I will tell you my feelings are hurt when I get a 3 on employment record, which is lower than 90% of the other applicants. I mean, is there something in my employment record I'm not aware of? Okay, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave that to the side right now. Here's my issue. My job is to go into that classroom and teach those children and instill morals and values in them. If we're not doing that as a county, what message are we sending to them? I mean, if this is the way we're going to run our county, God help us, but more importantly, God help our children. And I'm done. I don't even need 3 minutes. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Cassie. Any other public comment? Now is your time. After this, we will go through the agenda, and there will be no public comment after this. So if there's anyone that has anything that they want to address the board with, please do that now. Okay? We'll move forward.
Madam Chair, I'll respond to that, but I'll do that during board comments.
Okay. That's fine.
Move ahead.
Moving on the agenda, we have addition and corrections to the agenda. We are adding emergency items E1 through E5. And then PA number 7 through PA number 9 to fill in the blanks, and PA 12, insert the list of names, PA number 13, PA number 14 to delete. Do we have a motion to add the additions to the corrections to the agenda? Motion by Mr. Reddick, second by Mr. I'm sorry, who was that?
Mr.
Petty?
Go ahead.
Okay, do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Have a motion to approve the agenda with the corrections and additions. Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Approval of minutes, to approve the minutes for the July 14, 2016 regular board meeting and the July 25, 2016 public budget hearing and special meeting. Do I have a motion? Motion by Mr. Kiever. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. In old business, item tabled from July 25th, 2016 from the special board meeting, FA number 3, approve accepting the lowest bid for the gasoline and diesel fuel bids for the 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to take it off the table, Madam Chair.
Okay. That motion was made by Mr. Petty and seconded by Mr. Reddick. Do we have any discussion? Mr. Williams, were you able to find out and determine?
Actually, you can take the bids. I wrote on it.
Hold on, let me here get it. Sorry. It's on my desk.
Yeah, I'm going to go get it.
I'll go get it. You go.
Well, I need to copy it.
Do you know enough where she can go get it and you can kind of...
Was it off-road diesel on that low bid?
No, it was on road.
It was on road?
Yes, it was on road, and the non-ethanol was correct, too. So, yes.
So the lowest was...
The lowest was it Sharpton?
Well, the one we had in question was that
right. The
way that we were
it
expecting
it
to be.
Low price is what they purchased it at the low price at that time. That's what
But it's still on road.
It is on road. It's clear diesel. They call it clear diesel. Yes. She has the bids. I brought them back with all the paperwork, and I called every company and got everyone's information, wrote it down. And the non-ethanol was very, very impressive price. Their markup was like five cents, I think it was. So we can, as soon as she gets back with it, y'all can look at it.
Okay.
I have each one of y'all a copy of the results and all that Ms. Sheila had put the spreadsheet together.
Would y'all like to go ahead and move on? And can we go ahead and move on to the next one and then go back to it? Okay, the next one is the finance consent items. FC1 principal reports, FC2 financial statements for July 2016, FC3 is budget amendments, which include 110-07, 410-03, 420-06, and FC4 bills and payroll for July 2016. Do we have a motion to approve? As consent item, motion by Mr. Well, I guess we might need to wait for Ms. Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Reddick. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We'll go back to the old business with the lowest bid for the gasoline and diesel fuel bids. Thank you.
The spreadsheet up front.
All right. So.
If you open them up, I've actually wrote on every page, but I.
Is this the what's inside, but
yes.
It's all on one sheet?
Yep.
Okay. So.
Did you make all of them a copy?
Okay. So is this the one that's the lowest?
That's non-ethanol, yes.
Okay.
That's how much it is market. That's how much it is there. It's a little bit higher, but only just a few pennies, and it's non-ethanol. And then there's your diesel behind it.
Okay. I'm going to let y'all look at this with me so you all have all that also, but it shows that the lowest bid was Sharber for... 87, and it's got free, so that would be...
Ethanol free is what they say in there. They're not necessarily the lowest bid, but for non-ethanol, they are. The other ones are 10%, up to 10%. The bottom line, you can tell them all the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the company, Home Company, is 1.685. Sharber is 1.7318. Henson is 1.5855. And Eubanks is this one. 1.6276. So I'm having a hard time reading that.
I'm wrong. Yeah, that's not on there. Yep, that's right.
So is it this number?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going by this one, this one, this one, and this one. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't necessarily show the lowest because
it's not on ethanol. Mm-hmm. You got a 5% 0.065 markup with Holmes, 0.07 with
Sharber.
Henson is 15 cents, 0.15, mm-hmm. and Eubanks is 0.158.
So are we going, looking at is Sharber?
I recommend Sharber because it is non-ethanol and you're only talking 5 cents a gallon for non-ethanol versus up to 10%. On your lawnmowers, weed eaters, anything that sets, you'll make that money up in a hurry.
Okay. And then your
diesel. Was that one that was the cheapest last time?
It was. Yes.
If it was the right kind of grade fuel. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I make a motion to set Sharber.
Then you need to do your diesel now.
Well,
that was on gas.
Well, I mean, do we pick?
You can do
do two separate companies or.
You could, but I'd pick one because they can bring it all on one tanker.
Well, I mean, Sharber on diesel is lower than any other.
Right, they lower on diesel.
So your diesel is one for Home Company is 1.589. Sharber is 1.5789. Henson is 1.6712. And Eubanks is 1.677. So Sharber is the lowest bid on the diesel.
What's your markup on all those as well?
Markup for Home Company is 0.069. Sharber is 0.05.
So they're cheaper on markup as well. And cheaper on the fuel.
And Henson is 0.15. Eubanks is 0.158. So Sharber is, that one was a little bit easier to read and other than this one. So.
And that is clear diesel.
So, Mr. Reddick, do you want to?
I make a motion.
Mr. Reddick made a motion to approve Sharber as the lowest bidder for the octane and diesel.
And non-ethanol fuel.
Yes.
Gasoline.
Non-ethanol gasoline and diesel. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Keever. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let me get this back together real quick. Okay. Finance action items. FA1, approve the memorandum of agreement between North Florida Child Development, Inc. and Liberty County School Board. We did that while you were gone. Liberty County School District for 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. FA number 2, approve the contract between Edgenuity, thank you, Virtual Instruction and Liberty County School Board for the 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Motion
by Mr. Reddick. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Hayes. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. FA number 3, approve the contract between Liberty County School Board and Calhoun County School Board to provide FLDOE certified and Chipola College approved dual enrollment mathematics teacher for the 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Motion
by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. FA number 4, approve agreement between the School Board of Liberty County, Florida, Capital Health Plan, Inc., World Class Schools of Leon County, Inc., and Titus Sports Academy, LLC, for the 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. FA number 5, approve the Panhandle Area Educational Consortium Value Added Measure, which is VAM, contract agreement for the 2016-17 school year, effective August 1st, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Personnel consent items. PC number 1, approve family medical leave for Eric Willis for 6 weeks beginning August 2nd, 2016 through September 1st, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Personnel action items. PA number 1. Recommend accepting the resignation letter from Jonathan Schuler effective July 21st, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 2. Recommend accepting the resignation letter from Christy R. Pleasant effective July 31st, 2016. Do I have a motion? Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Greddick. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 4, recommend accepting the resignation letter from Julie Brock Lyons effective August 1st, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I apologize. We need to go back up to 3. I skipped over 1. Okay. PA number 3, recommend accepting the resignation letter from Daniel Williams effective July 29, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Reddick. Any discussion?
Can we turn him down? He has to come back.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Going back down to PA number 5, recommend accepting the resignation letter from Albert Yon, effective July 27, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Did I already say that? I feel like I keep forgetting myself. PA number 6, recommend accepting the resignation letter from Rakeem Quinn effective July 15, 2016.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Reddick. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 7, approve the recommendation to hire Andy Shelton as a certified teacher at Liberty County High School for the 2016-17 school year, effective August 10th, 2016. Do I have a motion? Motion by Mr. Keever. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 8, approve the recommendation to hire Renee Voss, effective effective August 10th, 2016, and Laura Sullivan, August 11, 2016, as certified teachers at W.R. Toller K-8 school for the 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 9, approve the recommendation to hire Aaron Green as a certified teacher at Hosford Elementary Junior High School for the 2016-17 school year, effective August 10th, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Reddick. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 10, approve the recommendation to hire Ashley Taylor as 21st Century Family Service Coordinator for the 2016-17 school year, effective August 1st, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Is that All in favor? I'm sorry. Any discussion?
I got a question for Mr. Hassett. Mr. Hassett, the superintendent recommends them. What action would the board have to not go with the superintendent's recommendation?
You have to adopt the superintendent's recommendation unless you can find just a cause not to.
Okay. Do we have any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 11, approve the recommendation to hire Janessa Edwards and Christy Glass as 21st century site coordinators for the 2016-17 school year, effective August 1st, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hayes, second by Mr. Kiever. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 12, approve the recommendation to hire the following personnel for 21st century for 2016-17 school year, effective August 8, 2016. For the Hosford site, certified teachers, Stephanie Davis, Jessica Petty, Kenneth Edwards, Jerry Flowers, part-time, Hope Wilkes, part-time, Jennifer Evans, part-time, Cammie Mann, part-time, activity leaders, Betty O'Rama, Ginger Watson, Robin Blackburn, Alice Mansell, health aide, Crystal Jordan, student leader, Reagan Todd. For the Toler site, certified teachers, Amanda Eichland, Jerry Musa, Marion Prochet, Craig Schuler, Jennifer Lee, part-time, Jessica Clark, part-time, Brenda Green, part-time, Sky Scott, part-time, Misty Sizemore, part-time, Carrie Smith, part-time, activity leaders, Tammy Stevens, Valerie Simmons, Deborah Clark, Judy Sexton, bus driver, Willie Ruth Allen. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Motion by Mr. Reddick, seconded by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. PA 13 and 14 were deleted. PA number 15, approve the recommendation to hire Misty Trickey as bus monitor at Liberty County High School for the 2016-17 school year, effective August 10th, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Reddick. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. PA number 16, approve the following supplements for the 2016-17 school year. Supplement SUGOA bus route, 26 to 60 miles per day, Patsy Godwin. Supplement for SUGOB bus route of 61 miles or more per day, Judy Pate, Carolyn Nobles, Laurie Reddick, Willie Ruth Allen, Martha Terry, Jill Moore, Linda Brown, Linda Collins, and Greg Solomon. SUGOH transport supplement as per salary schedule to Amy Brown for pickup at, is that Villas?
Villas.
Is that a, where is that at? Wow, sorry. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick, seconded by Mr. Hayes. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We know in instruction curricular action items, moving on to number 14, operations facilities consent items, OC number 1. Approve the bus routes for the 2016-17 school year. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Petty. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Kiever. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? We're going to go on down to the emergency items. Number 19, emergency item number 1. Approve accepting the resignation letter from Michelle Lytle as health aide 2 at W.R. Toler, effective August 3rd, 2016. Do I have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Motion by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Mr. Petty. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Emergency item number 2. Approve the following students to transfer to school of their choice for the 2016-17 school year. 3 students to W.R. Toler K through 8 school and 8 students to Hosford Elementary and Junior High School. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick and Kiever. I believe Kiever did the motion. Reddick did the second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Emergency item number 3, approve the resolution by the District School Board of Liberty County for the special facilities contract account to be established. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Kiever. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Petty. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Emergency item number 4, as stipulated in section 1013.642A7 Florida statutes, the District School Board of Liberty County agrees to begin advertising for bids within 30 days of receiving an encumbrance authorization for the construction of the new Liberty County High School as funded by the Special Facilities Construction Account. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick, second by Mr. Hayes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Emergency item number 5, as stipulated in section 1013.642A6, the Florida statutes, the District School Board of Liberty County agrees that if funded, the total facility construction cost of the new Liberty County High School as funded by the Special Facilities Construction Account, upon construction, the total cost per student station, including change orders, must not exceed the cost per student station as provided in subsection 6 of section 1013.64 Florida statute. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hayes. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Reddick. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving back up to item number 15, operations facility action items. Do we have any of those, Mr. Williams? Where'd he go? Okay. With Mr. Summers not here, I don't know that we have any superintendent items unless there's someone that has anything that's standing in for him, okay? And then at this time, we have board member items. Does any board members have any comment or discussion? Hi, Mr. Petty, go ahead,
Chair. Thank you.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about, I know we've got a lot of people here tonight, and you're passionate about being here. You wouldn't be here, because we usually don't have a crew this big, and I'm glad that you come. Transparency needs to be really paramount to what we do here at the school board office. And one of the things that bothered me, and again, the teachers that came to me and talked to me in the last few days, and there's been many, was not outrage at who got the positions, but the process. Mm-hmm. The process is being questioned. So when the process is being questioned, then that's on us.
That's correct.
We have to accept responsibility for that as a district. Now, of course, the superintendent's going to make those recommendations for policy changes, that the statutes declare that. But we need to make sure that, you know, whatever instruments we are using for our hiring is consistent with everything. I don't know that we've had a workshop on that in forever, maybe.
I think maybe we need to do that.
What I would recommend, and the reason being is some of these things that Mr. Fowler brought up are valid questions.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that was asking me was this process, how can, you know, this rubric, how can it be used for this job? And you know, just some of the questions, and it is, it's an item of basic fairness. I think that when we, from everything from the rubric that's used, the questions that accompany the rubric, also how we choose a screening committee, I think the board needs to look at that and have some recommendations from the superintendent, how that's chosen. I know in the summertime, Seth and I talked about this a lot. Sometimes in the summertime, you try to get personnel to help you in these decision-makings. But, you know, we need to make sure that we have a system in place. I know we've got semblance of a system that, to me, is under scrutiny by these teachers who have asked questions. And I think they're arguments and questions are valid.
Very valid. I agree with
it's
you.
It's not a, nobody came to me and said, I want somebody to lose their job.
Right.
Nobody did that. That was not, it was the process, which again is a reflection back on the district. So what I would like to do, because of so many things, there was just so much ambiguity between, you know, if somebody's from Liberty County, there's a score between 0 and 3. And some people got a 3 and some people got a 1.
Well, it's not if they're from, it's if they live in Liberty County.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
So, I
exactly.
mean, and when you view those score sheets, which is public record,
yeah.
you will see some scoring that is questionable.
Yeah.
And
I agree, and again, I don't blame the scores for that, per se. They do what what they had is what they had.
Right.
My thing is let's equip those people mm-hmm. with what they know exactly what they're doing. I even told Seth, even if it means in the summertime, if we're having a hire, which we do a lot of our hires, if we need to pay somebody a small stipend to come out and sit on a committee to do that and make sure that the integrity of the process is that we're accountable for. When somebody comes to us, and say at the end of the day, the superintendent, by law, I mean, I've got salt counsel on that, I knew it already, but me and Mr. good to have Mr. House here tonight.
Had to be here.
At the end of the day, the superintendent can hire who he wants to. That's by statute. The fact is that he takes these as recommendations. There's nothing that binds a superintendent on a recommendation. It does not bind them. They can choose whoever they want to. It's just merely a recommendation. However, the process of that interview process needs to be so transparent and so accountable that at the end of the day, if we don't do it right, somebody can say, well, look, I was discriminated against. That's why you have that process. That's why we go through a drawn-out process and screen people, interviewing people, trying to make sure we get the best candidates. Now, our goal as a district should be high integrity. We want people who know what they're doing. We get the best people for the job. At the end of the day, the superintendent, CEO of personnel, he gets to make those calls.
Right.
That's what the superintendent does. Our responsibility, I feel like, as a board, is to make sure that the process is transparent and fair.
I agree.
I question this. There may be other hiring that has happened. It's kind of like I shared with Mr. House. You know, you may have a transmission problem in your truck, but you don't realize until it starts clanking. But you might have had it for a week or two, but until it surfaces, you don't know that your transmission's gone. We may have had some other issues here that you know, because nobody's questioned them, we just kind of kept doing business as usual. But I think we need to make that a regular occurrence. If it's annually that we review our hiring documents, make sure these rubrics are up to date. This was for teachers. It appears like it's more for teachers. It's not conducive to really what this position, is asking for. So that's why those things need to be. And again, when the screener gets it, screener needs to be given all the tools necessary to make a good educated decision. I think they did the best what they had, but it often leads to questions of was somebody being fair. And the thing is at the end of the day, we want to be able to say the process was fair. Some of that's going to be objective material. It's in black or white. They either have the references or they don't. They either have the bachelor's degree or they don't. As opposed to it being very subjective. I mean, how do we give somebody? And I think he mentioned Mr. Green, you know, who has a master's. Yeah. How does she get a lower score? I don't know how that happens. And truth be known, maybe they didn't either.
Right.
So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt there. We need to look at that. I would ask if we could do that.
Have a workshop.
Give Mr. Summers an opportunity to get back on his feet. I'd say maybe the month of October. Maybe have a workshop on that. Let's flesh it out. And then in November, if we need to make some policy changes, hopefully by the semester we typically make some new hires. We have some hiring issues usually at the semester. See, people leave or people not renewed or whatever. We need to look at that before we hire people. We need to make sure that we are totally being fair with the whole process.
Well, I agree. I mean, the policy itself, the hiring policy, probably has not been looked at quite some time, and I believe that would be the consensus of everyone.
Yeah.
It probably is one of those touchy subjects because, every, 4 years we're subject to difference of opinions as far as who's either here or in that superintendency. And so if we have a sound policy and procedure that we all feel is that we can all agree on, I feel that would be better for our whole district. It doesn't immediately fix the situation with what we were addressed with today, and I probably appease everybody, but I will be glad to have a workshop, and I think that's very needed.
And I will gladly say, all the teachers that called me that had questions, never once through any of the people who got the job, we don't want nobody to lose a job.
We
have questions about the process, and I feel like that's on us.
Yeah.
We have to give them accountable, or we have to be accountable to them to why the process is what it is. So
well,
I think
that
would be the thing to do. If we can schedule that for October, Madam Chair,
okay.
Sooner the better, and fix it.
Okay. we will definitely get that scheduled. If y'all want to go ahead and try to schedule a date now, or if we want to wait till Mr. Summers is back to where we can make a more concrete idea of what's going to go on with him. With his,
yeah. Maybe shoot for October.
Yes.
Maybe, hopefully he'll be back.
I mean, if anything, we could even try to do the end of September.
Yeah. Just go work around his schedule when he's back.
Okay. Does any other board members have any discussion or anything that they would like to mention? Okay. We would need to have a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Reddick, seconded by Mr. Hayes. Meeting adjourned. Thank y'all for coming out. I am so sorry that I was so scatterbrained with that bid stuff that I was having a hard time looking and comparing. I promise you that I wasn't trying to make it look like we didn't know what you were doing.
That,
I was so worried you would think.